As we approach the end of the year, it's a time to reflect on all the amazing things that happened at Berkeley in 2024. From scholarships to upgraded facilities and new programs, none of it would have been possible without the generosity of our donors. As you consider your year-end giving, think of the impact you can make at Berkeley. Visit berkeley.edu/giving to support the next generation of artists and innovators. Muchas gracias y feliz año nuevo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Berkeley Alumni's Pass the Mic, where we pass the mic to you. My name is Jaquel Illy.
And my name is Patrick Farma.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. And it's kind of a bittersweet moment. As you all know, it is the end of the year as well as the end of the semester. Can you believe how fast December has flown by?
There is stuff that I've looked at in the to-do list from the beginning of the semester, and I'm like, oh my God, we didn't do this. And it's just so much has happened. I look back and I'm like, we actually did all of this stuff.
Yes. No, it's been a busy semester and we have accomplished a lot and I'm super thankful. So go us, go team.
Yeah. And we got a whole new semester of fun stuff in store.
Yeah. So what does our spring semester of 2025 look like?
Well, let's look. Just off the top of my head, I didn't prepare this, right? In January, we have a new president starting, Jim Lucchese. There's going to be some opportunities for alumni to get to know him. Jim comes from So Far Sounds, which is serendipitous, Jaquel.
Wow. Big word.
I never know if I use these words correctly, but I think I'm using it correctly because we are doing a signature series of our variation series because it is the fifth anniversary. This is one of the series that I started when I first got to Berkeley. And so we have three alumni that we're spotlighting throughout the spring semester. And one of them, actually, there's a So Far Sounds concert.
It all works.
It all works out in the end.
Yes. And I also have a campaign that I'm working on publishing next semester. It's called Where in the World Are You? And this campaign will showcase alums in the music industry in different parts of the world. So if you're out there and you're listening and you are outside of the United States of America, please reach out to me. I would love to showcase you and the music of your country. You know, music is something that brings us all together, and it's always interesting to see how music works in different parts of the world. So I look forward to showcasing that and highlighting the alums all over.
February, we have our annual Los Angeles brunch, which has been going on for over 30 years, which is amazing.
Yes.
Something that we go to every year and we get to meet new alumni. We get to do some interviews and it's really fun to go out to Los Angeles in the middle of winter where it is the driest place I've ever experienced.
But it's fun. It's always some sunshine. I feel like it's longer days, even though it is a 3-hour difference. But another part that's like really cool to do when we are in LA are the rapid questions. It's super cool to interact with the alums over there.
Yeah. If you're looking for some rapid questions, you can go on to our youtube.com/Berkeley Alumni or Instagram.
Yes, sir.
@Berkeley Alumni. A little piece of trivia is that I did kind of like a little rapid questions things with Jaquel when she interviewed for Berkeley. And she did so well that the hiring committee was like, no, you got to take her.
Okay.
You know, Jaquel just gets it.
Is it me?
Also in February is the Grammys. We already have a list of alumni that have been nominated for Grammys. And then we'll get to see what happens Grammy night.
Right. Congrats to all those who have been nominated.
In March, we have Giving Day. I'm trying to think because I was here for the first Giving Day.
Stop.
And so I think this will be the 7th Giving Day that we've done.
Wow.
It's something that a lot of schools do, but it is one of those things where we're on campus, we're with the students, alumni get to interact. It's a really fun day. After Giving Day in March is our spring break trips, which alumni, if you remember when you were students, groups of students go to places like Nashville, New York, Los Angeles, and meet with alumni and kind of get a sense of what's going on in those regions and the industry in there. And a couple of years ago, I went to the spring break trip in Nashville. They had a performance, an alumni showcase, and I was hanging out with students and talking to them. Did you go to one?
I went to a winter break trip in Miami, and that was super fun and super cool. We were able to be hosted in one of the alums' studios. So that was a great opportunity to just give students a real life experience.
April, we have the Alumni Achievement Awards. And we are working on the behind the scenes stuff for that. But I think, you know, we're going to be trying some new things this year as well. Stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And then May is commencement season, which in Boston is insane. You get parents that come in from all over going to graduations at Harvard, BU, Emerson, you know, anywhere. That's when I try to stay off the roads because no one knows where they're going or how to drive in Boston.
Right.
And then we get to celebrate and welcome a whole new group of new alumni. And
yes,
that's another campaign that we work on.
Yeah, our community will be growing and we are always excited for that time of year. So as you can hear, we have a busy spring semester coming up. 2025 is looking pretty hefty. So for today's episode, we have a special guest, the one and only alum Matt Sully, who is the bass singer of the amazing a cappella group Pentatonix.
I would argue that Pentatonix is the most famous a cappella group in the world.
Yeah.
And a little secret is that I kind of fanboyed out on this interview because I don't know what it is about a cappella. I just really like it. Like, I love a cappella so much, I've watched every Pitch Perfect movie. I just really like it. And so I just kind of geeked out with, you can tell, like I geeked out with him a little in this interview.
Yeah, we're really grateful for that opportunity to talk with him.
We had another guest in the studio, which
a
was...
A special guest.
Yes, my daughter Sophia was there. Listening back to the past couple episodes, I talk about Sophia a lot, but she is my daughter. So I think that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
And Sophia is actually really good at like media stuff. And we do a lot of work together, father and daughter. For all those parents out there, you got to get the physical form for school every year. And so I was in this situation where we had Matt in the studio for the day. And then I couldn't go back up and get Sophia and bring her back down to go to the doctor's office, which is basically next door. So I said, why don't you come? And we'll hang out with Matt Sully for a little while. So
yes.
You don't know right away that she's there, but there's like little kind of references. And then at the end, she gets a little moment with Matt. So that was a fun little thing to do. So yeah, so here's the interview for this month.
Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going, man? I'm fantastic. I cannot believe I'm back at Berkeley. It's wild. Memories are just flooding. I'm like walking down the streets. I'm like... People are probably looking at me crazy.
Yes. Well, like, how does it feel? Like, you know, this is like your old stomping grounds and it's been some time. Like, what is your emotions?
It's pretty surreal is the word. I'm so grateful for this place because I wouldn't be where I am. Literally, I would not be in Pentatonix without coming through Berkeley. And so there's like a gratefulness there. There's like a wow. There's like a remembrance of like, you know, so many amazing memories, amazing teachers, and maybe amazing moments.
Right.
Like walking past the BPC, I'm like, wow, I do shows here. Like seeing your showcase. And like, you know, yeah. I'm just like, we used to live for the cap shows, and, you know, and just things like that. It's just like, it was such a special time that it just marked me for my life, and so I'm just grateful.
Whenever I go back to my old campus in Chicago, it's always like the food coming out of the restaurants.
Yeah.
Like Harold's Chicken
will
take me back to 2002 every time. I don't know.
Yeah,
but what brings you here this time?
Well, we have a show tomorrow at the DCU Center in Worcester.
Worcester.
I've lost my my wife was laughing at me because I was like, I parked the car. And she's like, no. She's like, you've lost it. It's gone.
Patrick has a really good Bostonian accent.
You gotta
like,
it do
just
it.
Be coming out sometimes.
You got to do it. say like the keywords. You got to
say the keywords.
Oh,
like
well,
the hits.
I have to remember where I am. Okay.
There's a child present. Yes.
I'll see you later, kid. And say hi to your mother for me.
That's crazy.
See? Told you.
Put that, you were hired for the movie.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, so welcome back. So first, start it off. Where does your passion for music start?
Mm.
I know that like you started in the church and stuff, but like what made you be like, yeah, you know what? Music is something that I want to do for my career.
You know, the passions for music is different. I started singing really early and I liked singing really early, you know, but I think the passion really started for me when I think it was around sixth or seventh grade when I started singing in church for real. Like it was like, I was like singing it because my dad was a music pastor, you know, yeah. You know, I was doing the thing, but it started meaning more to me. And I started hearing the words differently and seeing that. And so it really felt like, wow, I'm really connecting to this. And I was like, oh, there's a reason why I'm connecting to it. Not just, you know, obviously the spiritual element to it, but there's just right. like the musicality, the songwriting. It's like music is just in my DNA. And so at that point I was like, I can't shake this thing. So I remember it was sixth grade because I didn't do choir in sixth grade. I was like going against the grain. I don't know why, but I didn't do choir in sixth grade. I did art and I barely passed.
but look at you now. Look at you now.
I was like, yeah. And so it's just been a big part of my family's DNA. My dad's a music pastor. My mom plays the clarinet. My brother plays drums. My sister plays viola. So there's so many singers in my family. So the music is a through line for sure in our bloodline. And so, knowing that I have been able to do this for so long and to be able to hone the craft for so long, I'm grateful for starting that early because it really affected, you know, the trajectory of life and being able to do what I do now.
Yeah.
I know you guys tour a lot. Are you afraid that if you stop touring, your family's going to want to put a band together with you?
I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I feel like my dad's still a music pastor. So he like, I don't like basically the band would just be going to sing at church on that Sunday. Because my brother's going to be on drums and you know, so like, yeah. So it's kind of already happened.
It all works. It's like a family project, maybe, you know, maybe you guys can all sing during.
You know, my mom actually really wants, she talked about it a couple years ago. She wanted us to do a family project. And
oh, nice.
That would be cool. I think we should.
Yeah. Like,
why not?
Celebrating each other, you know, everybody's talent. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool. You heard it here first. 2025.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, break that news right here. Berkeley Alumni's Pastor Mike. Yes. But okay, so that's really cool. So you are from Maryland. Mm-hmm. How did Berkeley end up on your radar? Like, how did you even hear about Berkeley? And what made you like make that decision to come here?
I was looking at schools that were music specific because I just wanted to be a singer. I know I wanted to sing. I did every play and musical in high school. I did every choir you could do, a cappella group. You know, I knew I wanted to sing, but there's no choir. There's no like college that goes here, singers come here, you know? And so I was doing classical auditions for like Elon and Marshall University and I was in, you know, in Ithaca University. And I was like, well, I'll either go the musical theater route or I'll do the classical route and try to figure out how to become a singer. And I didn't know that Berkeley had this contemporary school of, you know, of music. Somebody had just mentioned it to me that they, you know, that they do like contemporary stuff as well. I was like, that's interesting. And so I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I checked it out. I was like, oh, they have like ensembles with like Stevie Wonder and, you know, and things like that. Yeah. It's different than anything like I've done before. And, or that, I, you know, the other colleges that I was looking at. And so when I came and auditioned, I wasn't, it's so funny because my Berkeley audition was not very good. I am.
It was good enough. You made it though.
Literally, I sang a classical piece that I've been doing for all my other college classical courses. And they were like, thank you. And I was like,
and they're
like, oh, thanks. And I was like, I could feel that like they wanted something else. And I was like, I spoke up in that moment. I was like, actually, I can do something a little more contemporary because I know this is contemporary school. And they're like, oh, sure. You know,
okay. Give them a shot. Must have been the beginning of the session for the day.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, first of all, I'm probably the only person to ever get that chance.
Yeah.
And so I ended up singing Who's Loving You, Jackson 5.
Mm.
And then it was like, oh, eyes opened. It was like, oh, okay. And then went to the improvised part of the audition. And I was like, oh, I made it to the next round. You know, And and then I ended up getting in. But without taking that initiative and doing that, I wouldn't have gotten in. Because wouldn't have known. You know, they would have thought, oh, this isn't a right fit. Because all he does is he wants to be a classical musician. Mm-hmm. So,
well, shout out to you for being able to read the room and be hold up now. I'm not good.
Yeah, I got more. I got more of the arsenal.
So you kind of mentioned earlier how Berklee has played a big part in your life and where you are today, especially in your current a cappella group Pentatonix. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to know what are some things that you've learned here that you continue to instill in your career today?
Definitely there's a few things. One being how to run a band. So I sing in church a lot. I work on my own solo music as well, and so that is instrumental. And so I pride myself in being a sponge when I was here. So I went to all the drum sheds that were happening, and I would just sit in the back and be like an air drum or something, you know, because I was I can't do that, but that sounds so cool. And I'm retaining and I'm hearing it in my head, and then I'm hearing the bass player do something crazy, and I was like, oh, I can sing that a little bit, so I can relate to that in the guitar. And so I started learning music, you know, and really implementing that to running rehearsals. And so I would learn how to run rehearsals, arrange songs, arrange music, and it really helped to influence the arranging as it pertained to a cappella, because I was able to arrange a cappella while I was here. And then I arranged. So going into arranging sessions with Pentatonix, I'd already done that. I've already taught that, you know. And so all that preparation happened here. And so it's so expansive for me that I'm like, I feel like I just I love music so much. I get music. I can listen to something and I understand all parts of it for the most part, you know. Yeah. And I think that's really rare, especially seeing artists. A lot of artists don't get that unafforded that opportunity. They're absolutely just really good, a really good singer or a really good player. You know, they don't get the opportunity to be able to hone in their craft. And that's why I think that's a big reason why I was like, I think people should graduate here when they go here, because you have that time to really soak up as much as possible. The gigs aren't going to go away. They're still going to be there, and you're only going to be better by the time you get there. So I'm glad I didn't leave early or anything like that. And I'm glad I took the time to really hone in the disciplines of learning music quickly, you know, all that stuff. So
absolutely.
There's a huge generational change with students now at Berklee.
That's awesome.
Know? It's not about, you know, how quick can you jump on a tour or something. It is about being able to stay. And, you know, when I started here about 6 years ago, it was still, they don't call themselves freshman sophomore. It's what semester you are. But now they're, you know, you go to campus and they're like, oh, I'm a junior, I'm going to be doing this.
That's
stuff
so
like
interesting.
That. Yeah, no,
that's,
it's really
amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
That was not the case when I was here.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch in a little bit about your a cappella journey. Mm-hmm. So it seems like through my research that you have been part of a lot of different a cappella groups.
Yes.
So in high school, you was in the Ramtations. And then here you was part of Pitch Slap. After graduating, you was part of the House Jack. So what about a cappella? Why is this an ongoing theme in your life? What about a cappella interests you?
I think because I've done so many things that involve groups, right? I did a lot of theater that involves being a part of a group. Did a lot of choir singing. Church, I sang in a choir, you know, a praise team. I did a lot of things that involved groups. And so a cappella really was kind of a similar fit to that. Just a different type of that thing. And so when I started taking a cappella really seriously was when I was here, and I realized that there was more information to learn than just kind of four part harmony. You know, there's so many things, dynamics and arranging and how you swell and sing here, and how you, and who should, is the right voice, may sound the right voice for this part, but they actually should, you should split them, and they should sing half this verse and half, you know. There's so many little nerdy things that you can learn about a cappella that nobody will ever learn. Because it's why? But it's just I've happened to just grown in that. And it's just, and instead of being like, what am I going to use this information for? It's more so I just like stepped into it fully, and it just fully developed in my life. And I feel like I also love it, you know, like there's a deep love for harmony. And because I don't think I've ever been asked this question before. I'm like thinking on the real, I'm like, this is really cool. But I really love being the foundation of a cord. It, like I'm holding up this tree or something, you know, like I'm the roots holding it down so people can spread their wings and go. And there'd be different branches that come at different parts and different seasons and leaves and thick. But I'm that foundation that just holds it down and makes sure that people are safe enough to be able to explore above me. And that it really is like a metaphor of how I live my life in a lot of ways. Like as a dad, I just became a new father.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. I like want my wife and my baby girl to feel so safe and so protected. And, and in everything I do, I just want to be a light and just want people to feel that light. And so that foundation for me comes from God. So I want to be able to spread that love in everything I do. And so being the foundation is like, oh wow, this is like a full circle thing that happens, and I get to do it as a bass vocalist specifically.
Wow. It's so interesting because we were watching Bohemian Rhapsody on the ride in today, and we were saying like you were like the only person who didn't start in. And I could see you there just kind of holding your microphone, just being like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start and you just kind of take a little step forward and start. And then it really like, I know that feeling when you start to sing and then you can feel the other music with you. Mm-hmm. Like I just was like, wow, cool. I got to watch The Road. But also that was a really good thing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's nerdy, right? Like, it's pretty heady because you could get into like chord structure and like, where do you sit? And then what if I'm singing higher and I'm actually not the foundation of the chord and I'm like moving and I'm more of the fifth, and then you bring that, you know, it can get really, really, really heady. But what I love about what we do, it's impressive, but it's not, it's still digestible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people can listen to it and be like, oh, I can understand that. I can relate. It's not just like, you know, too much. Nothing wrong with that. I've been there, done it. I love it. It's just, you know, for this specific thing, trying to, especially doing Christmas carols, you want to be able to sing along. You want to be able to like bob your head to it. You want to, you know, it's got to be that feeling.
I mean, the idea with acapella too, is there's two reasons why I would not be very successful at it. And it has nothing to do with ability. I mean, ability is a given as number one why I would not be successful. Two is the dancing. I could not do the dancing. Yeah. I appreciate that you guys don't always go into like a full bit with the dancing. And the second thing is that you have to be so disciplined. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes when you're in the moment and you're feeling it, you're like, I'm just gonna do a run or something. And then it's like, no, you have to, you're gonna mess everybody else up.
Fair. And I think one of my favorite things to do when I was here was with Pitch Slap, because it was like the best singers on campus were all trying to be in Pitch Slap. And it was just like this thing where it's like you got to play around with some of the best voices that will never ever get to sing together again, probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like this one unique lightning in a bottle moment where you could go, oh my gosh, maybe what if they sing this line? But if I, and then you start to create space for them to be them and also sit and then they sit in the group. But then you, like, so the line has like, instead of a line going do 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 do, it's like do 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 do, and it's like the same thing, but that little trill is something that I hear him do all the time when he was walking down the hall. So that's gonna add that little taste to it, you know. It's like when you start doing that and you have 14 people to do that with, you're like, this is crazy. So I don't really like acapella that much, so if you can't tell. No, but seriously, it's like the coolest thing, especially when it starts to lock and then somebody else that also gets what you're doing. Like, you're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Are we geniuses?
Yeah. It's cool to see what can be, you know, like the ending project with everybody just coming in together. Totally. But, you know, hearing you talk, it seems like you love some group projects. And I feel like that's different. A lot of people do not like group projects. And so
people don't like people. I like people. Okay. I like being around people. And I'm a very people person. Some people don't like people. They don't being around people. They want to do it. It's harder because you don't understand their vision. And I get that. Like,
that's true.
I'm not knocking that at all. I think there's room for that too, but it's just, I think for me, it's just, I'd rather do it with other people because I'm going to have more fun doing it and they're going to be a part of it and we're all going to succeed together, you know?
That's always the thing is like, you know, I don't have all the ideas. Mm-hmm. So if I'm collaborating with other people, like then the best ideas are going to come.
And it bounces. And now all it takes is that one little spark to then bounce. And then that could be the momentum that like get to your destination. So
awesome. So can you tell us about like your journey from like after graduating and then like how'd you end up being with Pentatonix?
So I graduated in 2016. I walked in the spring and then I took some classes over the summer. So I always say I like graduate 4 years and a half. but I was doing wedding band stuff. Like I was in a wedding. Honestly, being in a wedding band is like one of the most fun things I've ever done.
I'm sure you had a blast. Yeah. Fun. I could see you like getting the crowd hyped.
Yes.
After a few drinks in them.
And it don't need much in New England. Like, they like to have a good time. And so it's a combination of everybody just happy for the couple and the families and people seeing each other they haven't seen. Like us and we just bring the party and it's just like this explosion. So I attribute a lot of my performance. I like use it a lot of it as like a practice field almost. I'm a big football guy, but but I like use it as a practice field of being able to practice some different ways to sing Uptown Funk and some different ways to do the crowd participation. I do a song called Most Wonderful Time of the Year and it has like a call and response moment. And I think about like when I was back in doing wedding band stuff and doing This Is How We Do It and doing call and response and seeing how different things work better and how it related to people and actually taking that time to use that, you know, use it as like a practice field versus just like, oh, here's another gig. I'm just trying to get paid, doing the thing. And so I always tell people like I was preparing for something that greater, like I was preparation for the thing, the next thing that could be the thing, you know, and we're always evolving and we're always growing. And so I just use that as a stepping stool. But to answer your question, my tangents, my wife was here, she'd be like, can I answer the question?
I think you dropped a lot of gems in that little bit right there. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. I always say that. Good. And you know that you have to go through, you know,
dreams. Wait, say that again.
Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Preparation.
Proper, like you got to prepare properly. Prevents
poor performance.
Yes.
Wow.
I be saying that all the time because you really got to prepare for what you want. Right?
That's really good.
Thank you.
I'm stealing that. I'll give you credit.
Yes.
For the first year and then after that.
No, that's fine. You can take it.
But yes, I ended up doing wedding band stuff. I was in an a cappella group called the House Jacks. And we were doing gigs, you know, around the country, corporate stuff, shows and things like that, and colleges and things like that. And so I was doing music professionally. Yeah, I was teaching voice lessons. I was singing at Hennessy's down by Faneuil Hall, like Wednesday night, Thursday night, you know. And same thing. I was like, there's four people here, but these four people are gonna have the best time.
Right.
Like, we're all gonna have a great time.
Yeah,
because it's just like we love it. We love music. What we do it for. We don't just do it just to have adoring fans yelling at us. So, you know, we do it. The real people with the longevity do it because they love it. And
absolutely.
And so I ended up doing a lot of that stuff. And then I knew long story short, Ben Bram, the co-founder of Pentatonix from the Sing Off, he actually helped put the group together. I know him from Pitch Slap in, you know, Small World, acapella, not a lot of basses, that, you know, fill in the blanks there. And it was an audition process and I ended up getting the job. That's the shortest version of that story I've ever told.
Yes.
It's Berkeley alumni, so, you know,
they get the process.
I mean, you had prepared yourself for acapella and you talked about how you had experience arranging and then you had met them very Were you in high school?
Yeah, I met them in high school.
I was like, that makes sense. But then I saw a picture of you. You were a baby.
A baby.
You had to have been an alto at that point. You were so young.
We were young. And it was funny because they're only 2 years older than me. So right. They were babies. So it's like, you know, it's funny. Like, we were all just kids. Yeah. And like, it was a competition that my choir teacher found off of the initiative of us, because we would meet before school at 7 a.m. just to do an acapella group, you know. And she found the competition, and the Pentatonix is going to be there as a workshop, and they did Q&A, and we met them and the whole thing. And so it was really this beautiful thing when I joined the group that the fans really felt connected to me. It was like, how can we hate this guy? He was one of us, you know, kind of thing.
It's,
you
like
know,
a full circle moment.
Yeah. And I got the pictures to prove it.
Right. Yeah.
So it almost helped the transition too, you know.
Right.
And Avi, the guy I replaced, he's incredible. Like, well, he's the best in the world, easily. Mm-hmm. And so me looking up to him in so many ways as a bass vocalist, and the group in so many ways, right? And so being able to come in and then not only do me, like be me, but have a voice and have a say. They're all, from the beginning, it's always was like, hey, how do you feel about this? You know, they're always so loving to me and easy. They just made it really easy on me and didn't want to, hey, do you feel okay with this? Is it all right with this? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm happy. Yeah. Happy, whatever. Happy with
whatever. I'm just happy to be here.
There was no intense hazing period joining Pentatonix.
There was no intense hazing period. It's a whirlwind, right? Like the first week I moved to LA, first of all, I had to move there in 6 days.
Mm. Wow.
So they called me and they were like, hey, we need a bass for some stuff. The manager was like, hey, you need a bass for some stuff. Can you come in LA? And I was like, cool. He's like, all right, me be here by Sunday. And I was like, okay, it is Tuesday. I was like, I gotta find a place to live. Like, just like, little stuff. I gotta move out of the place I'm at. Like, I'm just like, it's fine. It'll all work out.
Yeah.
And it really did. It all, like, that same day, a friend of mine was like, who was lived in LA, was like, hey, can you pray for me? Because we got somebody like that just dropped out of our place. And I was like, you have an open space? I was like, yes. And she's like, I'm moving to LA. Can I have that space? She's like, yeah. So it's like stuff just like that happened like every day. So
falling
it was,
in line.
Yeah, it was just so, it was so like divine. And so
destined for sure. Yeah. So another thing I wanted to talk about was like in other interviews, you were talking about the importance of following your dreams. And I was wondering if you can like share a little bit about that insight with our audience as well.
Yeah. I mean, this was the biggest dream, right? Mm-hmm. To like almost an unattainable dream, because there's five people in Pentatonix and they're not, you know, like it's the group that's already established. So you want to make something like it. You want to be in something like it. And so when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be in something like it. I'm going to be in it. And, you know, a dream that's like more than we could ask, hope, or dream or imagine. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And so being able to do that was just mind blowing. And so I have to tell people that you have to chase your dreams, because you literally don't know. Mm-hmm. There's no way that I could have known that when I met them in 2012, that I would be in the group 5-6 years later. Like, there's no way to quantify that or to say, like, you know, like it doesn't make sense. Right. And so your dreams may not make sense, but they're still your dreams. So you have to go after them, because that's why I encourage people, because you never know what could happen or in what you're going to learn along the way is going to be so amazing that it's going to be worth it either way. So like, you should just go, because if you don't go, you're going to regret it and feel sad and then retract. You're going backwards rather than like moving forward, you know.
I think that that's really insightful, and that a lot of people can really, you know, relate to, because sometimes we may have dreams and goals and then things happen in life, you know, life be life. And,
life be life.
And then you have to like pivot. Life be life. You have to pivot. So I think that that's really inspiring.
I have two questions.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in now because I feel like it's kind of getting into that realm. One is a strictly logistical question.
Okay.
I feel like acapella has more of a season to it than maybe some other styles of music. You know, I mean, you have Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
When do you start preparing for like the Christmas season?
At all, like always, pretty much. Like,
is it like the 4th of July and your wife's like, can you please stop?
There was one time, this is so funny, I've never told anybody this. There was one time.
can't even get it out.
Context. You have to make a Christmas record before Christmas. Right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I got to wait for the Christmas season to make a Christmas record. No, you have to make a Christmas record, deliver it by July. Mm. In the best case scenario, worst case scenario, September. Mm. So you're making the concept. You have the concept while you're on tour. And then you're recording it January, February, you're arranging it, you know, whatever you do. Wow. You're doing everything, and then you're mixing, mastering, all this stuff, and then you're sending it in by July. That's what we did with our last record. Especially because we landed a few songs. But it's just funny because I was in it was like heat of July in LA, and I was like, jingle bells, jingle. And it was like blasting from my car because I was listening to the mix so I could hear it.
Yeah,
and it was
right.
Like, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. And some people next to me were like, why is he listening to jingle bells in July?
Wrong
like,
season.
It was so loud. And I remember being like, ooh, I'm going to put my window up now. Yeah. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But logistically, you need to have that time to work out the concept, to work out the, you know, arrangement and arranging and everybody. Now we have lives. Everybody has babies and responsibilities. So we have to plan, you know, those things. Because we go before Thanksgiving. Like we start November 12th. Mm-hmm. So, which means rehearsals start in October, which means music videos needed to be done in September, which means, you know, so it's all kind of like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think every like December 1st, everybody wants to start working on a Christmas album. And then you realize by March, like, I don't think I timed this right.
Yeah. It's like, this is so good in April.
My other question was, you know, so what do you do creatively yourself? Because a little context for this is you sing Life is a Highway for Berkeley Night.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right around the time that I started working here.
Oh, no way.
And that is actually one of our most popular videos on our YouTube channel.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So I was wondering, like, what do you do to kind of get outside of that a cappella space to keep you, like, creatively nourished? How do you step away from it to be able to step back into it?
Totally. I think a couple of things. I sing, my dad's a music pastor, so I've been singing in church, like I told you, my whole life. And so I sing at my home church in Glendale. Shout out to Expression 58 in Glendale, California. And I sing there and in a few other churches in the California, Los Angeles-based area. And that is super fulfilling for me musically because it's, you know, it's with the band, you know, the whole thing. And I use a lot of my training here with like, oh, this chord would be cool. You know, like, let's change it up. We've heard this song a lot. How do we flip it? You know, that kind of thing. And I do have solo music that I'm working on.
Okay.
And that is
breaking news right
in
here.
In the works. Yeah, it's good. In the works, and I'm excited about it. It's a long time coming for me, and I'm very excited about it. Everybody has their own solo projects in the group, and we encourage it,
because
we need it. We need to have those outlets. I'm most excited about diving into the artistry of, like, what is it in me that I have as an artist that I'm trying to say about me, because, you know, I've never gotten to really say that.
Absolutely.
And drop the music
and
here on.
Yeah.
Don't play. You will. You want to give us something so we can play on December? It's going up. Trust me. You are currently on a Christmas tour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first I wanted to know, is Christmas like your favorite? See, like, this time of year, like, the best
it
time
is.
For you? Yeah.
It's always has been from like moments when we would like watch A Year Without a Santa Claus and, you know, with my brother
Absolutely.
And sister and heat miser, snow, they would run downstairs and, you know, and all the traditions that we had to, like, now this become to the me being here and be able to sing at the Faneuil Hall tree lighting a few times.
Beautiful,
like,
yeah.
So beautiful, so happy, so joyous, so much love. So it's like Christmas is just that time, you know, where people it just brings so many people together and so Absolutely. Much love that is just spread around. And so I've always loved it. And so to be able to be a conduit of that is super special. And I'm humbled by it a lot because people will come to our shows as a tradition. now. Right. Like families, yeah. they'll come every year. Like we go to Hershey, Pennsylvania every year. So I see the same families that I'm like, oh, wow, I've seen you guys. You know, like they come every year. Faces. It just becomes
yeah.
a tradition. And yeah. so it's really kind of crazy. It blows my mind that the position in, you know, that we're fortunate to be in, to yeah. have that and people still love it. And they just... And it fulfills us creatively and people love it, you know.
People are approaching with a spirit of wanting to be in a certain space.
Yeah.
I could imagine that it might be a more stressful time of the year, but everybody's firing on all cylinders mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm. I think it's actually an easier part of the year for us because we kind of know what you're going to get a little bit. Especially since a lot of the times the venues will do back and forth. Like, if we come to Worcester, we'll go to Connecticut or, you know, like the next year, you know, kind of thing. And so you kind of know what you're going to get yourself into with a lot of touring. I mean, the band's been together for 14 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there's not a lot of new venues and things, you know, like that you haven't seen or, you know, they can't, you know, even the amphitheater runs in the summer. Like, you kind of know which ones
sure.
you go through and what to expect a little bit. But I think there's like moments like the Masked Singer. When we did the Masked Singer,
mm-hmm.
it was like creatively, it was so quick. It was a competition show. It was so quick. Everything, like the arrangements had to happen. There was some, you had to put costumes on and off, and you had to have handlers walk you around. And like, it's like there's so much excitement and new, and you know, like, and we're learning new arrangements. Nobody knows who we are. You know,
right,
it's
yeah.
like, it's like this. There's so many moments like that when, like, throughout the year too, that add to it. And there's so many things that we're working on that we can't talk about too. That mm-hmm. you know, that happen. Yeah. You know, like, and that also adds. So it's kind of like yes and no, because you know, we did Christmas, Asia, Australia, Europe, Christmas again, and then a summer run, and then it was like a 12-month. It was like a long time while we add it all up. So we all tired and really needed a break. And wanted to be home. So it's like, but that's different because we were home. But then we were still working on stuff together while we were home. So it's like yeah. it's this, you know, it's a music business,
yeah,
balance, yeah. you know. So I couldn't say one's more like easier or better than the other. It's just different.
Well, Matt, do you have a favorite song that you perform? The song that you're like, oh, I can't wait to sing this one.
Probably The Grinch. What? Because I'm getting smiles from Sophia over there. I love that song. Also, people love that song. It's just like people love the movie, all yeah. versions of the movie. Jim Carrey's the cartoon. Like there's so yeah. like people love The Grinch, and it's just like it's like he's like a villain, but he's not. You
right,
know,
yeah.
so it's like
you
it's just
yeah.
yeah. It's like everybody sees a little Grinch in themselves, maybe a little bit. I don't know. And so
yeah,
it's just
love.
It's
need
just
love.
So much. It's just so fun and it's so yeah. theatrical, mm-hmm. and you know that's so I love singing that one. But also our version of Mary, Did You Know. Is one of my favorites nice. To sing as well.
I found that when you try to be a Grinch in real life, people don't like you as much.
Yeah, no.
No.
He said, I found. Like, oh my goodness. Like,
maybe I need a new role model.
Right. But nonetheless, great movie. Literally. Well, like, yeah, is there anything that you would like to say? Or we also wanted to know, like, again, you do a lot of interviews, and like we wanted to know, like, what is something that you wish people would ask you haven't gotten asked, even though you did say that we have asked you questions that you
yeah,
haven't
this
heard.
Was yeah. the toughest. This was the toughest interview because
yeah, wow.
I listened to a lot of interviews and been like, we can't ask him that one.
Right. Yeah,
we're gonna be unique.
And we knew you were doing interviews before this. And
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
lots of questions. Do you have a question?
I do. Have
okay.
A question.
Okay.
What are the most happiest and the most saddest moments in the Pentatonix?
Oh.
That's our cool producer.
Happiest moments are when we're like doing like an upbeat song or something fun or like joking on stage, like being really silly. People are really engaged. People are so happy. Those are like the happiest moments because you're like what we naturally, how we naturally are on stage is literally how we are off stage, actually. Not like it's not a character. And so it's nice to be able to be yourself and people love you and accept you and want more of that. Yeah, no, we want you to be more like yourself, you know? And so that's really fun. I should have gave the sad part first. The saddest is when it's over. Like a tour is over
yeah.
and you've had like the best time and like, oh, you're like, oh, that's kind of sad. But then you're like, oh, I get to go home to my family. And you're like, oh, my family's there. And like, oh, that's kind of sad. I get to leave my family. And you're like, oh, but I'm going to my tour family. So it's like, yeah, it's lots of emotion that goes into music in general.
Yeah. But
it goes into, because you just love your people. And we've been we're fortunate to have the best team, the best people around us. And really, the five of us, we really do love each other. There's a deep love and care for what we do professionally and personally, and that's not always common within groups and common within in the industry. And so it's really fortunate. We're fortunate and blessed to have that.
And you all do so many different things together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like you really have to have that chemistry.
100%.
Otherwise, like, you're not going to be able to do like a show on NBC, like, or stuff like that.
Yeah. Especially if it's the days are long.
Right.
The nights are cold. No, I'm just kidding. The days are long. The days are long. And like, if you're going to be at Good Morning America at 4 a.m. and then have to go to Sirius XM and then have to go to do this interview down the street and and then eat lunch in the car on the way to the last day, like, I hope you enjoy the people you're doing it with.
Absolutely.
Because then that's just a long day. kind of time goes by so slow if it's like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
we talk about with all the alumni is like, you know, you have to be a good hang.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless of how talented or smart you have to be a good hang.
Thank you so much, Matt, for your time. I think you have gave us so much gems and we learned a lot.
We gotta have you back when you put out some solo stuff.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Yes.
2020 November. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, hold up.
And then the family band.
And then the family band. Lots of projects.
We've given you a lot to work on.
You're giving
a lot of homework from Berkeley again.
You've spoken them, so claim that. They're coming to you.
Yeah, totally. Thank you guys. No, this has been a lot of fun.
We are back. And that was our interview with Matt Sully.
It was just really fun that it just kind of all happened at once. I was like, oh, Matt's coming in. Like, oh, can he do a podcast interview? Absolutely. Let's sit down. And then, you know, he had an agenda that day. So really, he just kind of came in, sat down. We just got to know each other real quick and started recording. And then he was off to the next thing. So it was just a really nice little slice of life for that day and to get to know him. And he's a genuine article for sure.
Absolutely. It was definitely a great, genuine conversation.
And I do mention in the interview that one of our biggest videos on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Berkeley Alumni, is his performance of Life is a Highway.
And we have that song playing us out today.
Have a happy new year, everybody. We'll see you in January.
Yes. Happy holidays. Happy new year. Be safe. Enjoy. Thank you for always supporting us and stay tuned for the next episode.
You travel on this one day here, the next day. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the world. There's a world outside every darkened door, where it can't haunt you anymore. When love is free and brave and soar, ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. We won't have time left today. Oh, till life is a highway. I wanna drive it all night long. Come on. If you're going my way, I wanna ride it all night long. Yeah, through all these cities and all these towns, it's in my blood and it's all around. I loved you now like I loved you then. These are the road and these are the hands. And beat to the Memphis Lights, Cabo past the Vancouver Sights. Then I'll be down back up again. In my blood, I'm not a lonely man. There's no one I can hold or hold to up this side of the door. I'll be there when the light comes in. Tell them we're so. Come on, say life. All right, put it.
There is a distance between you and